When I think of all my faults and all my failures, when I consider all the times I've let God down, I am humbled by the grace He has extended, and I'm amazed at the mercy I have found. I could never earn His love on my own, yet every time I come before His throne, I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I am. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-scarred hand that bought my liberty. I stand redeemed. Even at my best, I am unworthy, for I have nothing precious I can give. A broken life is all I have to offer, and yet it is a priceless gift to Him. The bitter mark of sin will never fade away, yet I can come before Him unashamed. I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I am. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-scarred hand that bought my liberty. I stand redeemed. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-scarred hand that bought my liberty. I stand redeemed. I stand redeemed.
I like to see families serving the Lord together, don't you? And a mother and a daughter singing together. Brother Shelton, I'll be honest with you. I know that has nothing to do with you, does it? I'm just kidding with you. We're so grateful to have your family with us here. And that's a blessing. Praise the Lord. Amen. I like it, you know. Turn to the book of 2 Timothy with me, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to make you aware that Brother David Fox's mother has passed away. She passed away this week, and he was our youth director here for 9 years, pastoring now in Greenville, Tennessee, and a dear friend of mine. And his mother's beholding the face of Jesus. So let's be sure and pray for them. If many of you would like to send them a card or make a phone call, whatever the case may be, I think that'd be great and be appropriate. Let them know we're thinking about them, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse number 9. Now, I'll be honest with you, when you first read through this, it's like, what in the world is he going to bring out? But it's going to take me 3 messages at least to get through it. That's how much stuff's in it. I mean, it's just amazing, you know? I mean, all this stuff that's in the Word of God. What a book we have in our hands. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord for the Bible tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 9. Do thy diligence. Do thy. You know what I mean? Yeah, sure. This is broadcasted all over the world too, you know. So if you're watching, God bless you too. Amen. Do thy, okay, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Now help me out here, folks. You got me tickled. I'm going to have to get back on the right track here. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. To Caicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his evil works, according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca, or Priscilla, if you will, and Aquila, the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? You're reading, it's like, what in the world, you know? But I begin a message tonight entitled Paul's Final Message. Now you understand, just like I've told the church many times, I like to have an Old Testament book going, a New Testament book going, a topical series. Obviously we're in the book of Esther for the Old Testament, the Bible Mountains for our topical series, and we're concluding now. It's going to take us a little while to do it, but we're concluding with our with this book of 2 Timothy. And I begin this message, Paul's final message. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. Help us. May the will of God be done. Help us to understand exactly what you're telling us to do. And Lord, I pray that you speak to us. Speak to me. I need you to speak to me tonight. Thank you for touching the message this morning. I believe you used it. And I pray that you'll use this message tonight. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me open up this message by saying it has been a wonderful journey through this blessed book. I mean, Paul has been an outstanding servant of the living God. He's taken missionary journeys and he's led many people to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has faithfully preached the Word of God without fear or favor of man. He's been considered one of, if not the greatest Christian to live. Now, in this book, we're reminded that he is currently sitting in the Roman prison, the Mamertine prison, if you remember the picture that I showed you many months ago now. He's awaiting his execution by decapitation. And throughout this book, we see his desire for the young preacher Timothy to take the torch of God's truth and carry it faithfully. Now, Paul knows he's nearing the end of his life, and we can hear his burdened heart for the things of God. Now, these verses that we have before us tonight in chapter 4, these are the last words that Paul will ever write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. It is with this thought that we are considering Paul's final message. These are the last words that God used him to pen. And don't you know that the last words he pens are going to be pretty important? And I'm telling you, with this thought, I want to bring out several things for our admonition. Now, this first point has 14 points under it. That's why it's going to take us so long to get through it. It's going to take my time because I don't want to fly through this thing. But the first thing we notice about Paul's last message is we notice, number one, the list of people. We notice the list of people. Now, we're not going to get through this point tonight. I'm just giving you a heads up. But it's interesting that in these verses, we see Paul mentioning a network of people. In this list, as we work through it together, we will see faithful people, unfaithful people, friends, and enemies. This list consisted of people who were part of the Apostle Paul's life and ministry. You know, in the same way, life and ministry today are made up of these same types of people. They really are. I'm talking about those who are faithful, those who are not faithful. Those who are your friends, those who are your enemies. Those who are old friends and new friends. I mean, as we look at this list together, this is our life. Paul had them in his life, and you're going to have them in yours. Paul had them in his ministry, and we're going to have them in our ministry. Now, let's look at this list of people. I'm hoping to get through seven of them. I may not do it. Number one, the first person in the list is Timothy. Now, these are the points under it. Number one, Timothy. In verse number 9, notice his language. Now, who's he speaking to when he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me? Who's he talking to? He's talking to Timothy. This is a letter written to Timothy, so he's speaking directly to Timothy.
So see, the first person that's mentioned in this list is the one he is writing to, the young pastor by the name of Timothy. Now this young preacher was one of Paul's spiritual children found in 1 Corinthians 4:17. Paul was truly a mentor of this young man. Paul had poured his life into this young man, and now this young man was being encouraged to take the torch and carry it on for the glory of God. Now, in the same way, and anytime you hear me say in the same way, I'm applying it to us. In the same way, let all of God's children reach out to another Timothy in our sphere of influence. Let us be active in trying to lead somebody to Christ and then taking them under our wing and mentoring them as a Timothy. As a matter of fact, in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, you can notice his language here. He says, thou, therefore, talking to Timothy, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. We have a program in our church called the Timothy Teams. It's not running like I want it to run, but we'll work on it in the future. What it is, it's taking somebody who's trained, let's just take one area, in the area of soul winning, and we're trying to get them to see themselves as Paul. And they will reach out and take a young Timothy, a man with a man, a lady with a lady, and Paul is training Timothy. And I'm encouraging you here, folks, let us be actively looking for somebody that we can pour our life into for the glory of God. By the way, if you're not living for God, don't pour your life out into somebody. They don't need what you have. Amen. I'm talking about somebody who's right with God, serving God, obeying God, living for God like Paul. He reached out and poured his life out into young Timothy. Now, you know, I'm big on this, folks, and I'm big on it because the Word of God is big on it. The Bible wants His children to teach their children, whether they be physical children or spiritual children. God wants us to have a Timothy in our life. There's no question about it. If you're not training somebody, you're not obeying the Word of God. God wants you to train a Timothy in your life in the things of God. Number two, now you understand, if I get bogged down, we're going to be in this forever here, okay? So all I'm trying to do is just bring out who it is, what they were, and apply it to our life and go on. Timothy. Secondly, we notice in the second name on the list is a man by the name of Demas. Notice what the Bible says about him. For Demas, verse number 10, hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Now in this verse we see a man who at one time in other portions of Scripture, he was an assistant to Paul. He really was. However, we see in this text how Paul says now Demas has forsaken him, having loved the present world. The idea here is this, that when Paul was suffering for his commitment to the gospel and was awaiting execution, Demas had his mind and heart set on the things of this temporary life. Now get this, folks. He was more interested in his own wants and his own desires than the things of the Lord. The idea here is this. He started right, but he finished wrong. That's Demas. Because Demas, elsewhere in Scripture, I didn't write it down, I wish I had of, but elsewhere in Scripture it's found that Demas was an assistant to Paul. He was helping Paul. He was a fellow laborer with Paul. But when Paul's at the end of his life, Demas is not standing up with him. He's forsaken him because he loves this present world. That's happening all over America. It's happening all over the place. Philemon, verse 24, I did write it down. Here it is. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers, Paul called him in Philemon, verse 24. In Colossians 4:14, it talks, Paul speaking, saying, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So we see in these two verses of Scripture that Demas was at one time right with God, but now he's forsaken it. He's kicked the traces. And he's turned his back, and he's loved this present world. You know, in the same way, here we go. Here's the application. In the same way, let us not be a Demas who finishes wrong. Let us not be a Demas who is known for loving this present world. Let us be a child of God who puts Christ and His glorious work first and determine that we're going to follow Christ and we're going to cross the finish line head on. No doubt about it, folks. I want to finish right. I'm 33 years old. I don't know how much time I've got left. You might have more time than I do. But I know this, there's a desire in my heart. I want to finish right. I want to cross the finish line right. Demas didn't do that. Demas started right, but when the going got tough, Demas forsook Paul. There's Demas. Now you understand all these deserve a message, don't you? But I'm not going to do that. Number three, verse number 10. Look at it. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is parted unto Thessalonica. Now here it is, Crescens to Galatia. Crescens. Anybody want to stand up and give us a book report on Crescens? Oh, now there's been some disagreement as to why Crescens was not with Paul at this time. However, the common consensus, and one that I agree with, is that he was out serving the Lord in Galatia at this time. Now there's no mention given by Paul that Crescens loved this present world. It's not mentioned about him. You see what I'm saying? Therefore, I conclude that he was serving the Lord at this time. But the point I want to make is that we do not know much about this man. We don't. He's somewhat of an unknown servant of the Lord. Wouldn't you agree with that statement? We don't know much about him. As a matter of fact, he's only mentioned here. There it is, Crescens to Galatia. He's only mentioned there. Now, you know what this tells me? He is seemingly one who's serving behind the scenes. Now listen. You know, in the same way, there it is, there's the key phrase now, in the same way, it does not matter how much this world knows your name. It doesn't. The Lord knows what you're doing for Him. By the way, this is true, whether what I believe about Crescens is true or not, this that I'm applying is still true. Let us be concerned with serving the Lord for Him, not for our own popularity. In other words, don't serve the Lord to be noticed by man. I mentioned this in this morning's message. But rather serve Him in sincerity for Him, not for them. Be one who's content to work behind the scenes for the glory of God. You know some of these folks in the church who work behind the scenes? They're janitors. The ones who clean the buildings. I'm talking about people like bus captains. Some of you don't even know who our bus captains are. And I'll be honest with you, you will, God willing, before long if you don't. But it's not about, hey, this is a bus captain, that's a bus captain, that's a bus captain, that's a bus. Listen, it's not about if anybody knows your name. Who cares who knows your name? Can I say something to you? It doesn't matter who knows me. I'm not out to make a name for myself. Now, a lot of times I have been in the past, so have you. Amen. But we learn from Crescens that, hey, you can work behind the scenes. And it may only be one statement, but God knew where Crescens was. The Lord knew he was in Galatia. And God knows what you're doing too. If nobody else knows, God knows. I'm talking about people like the sound system workers. I'm talking about people like the vehicle maintenance crew. I'm talking about the nursery workers. I'm talking about those that not up in front of people per se, but the work of God is being fulfilled through them who's content to work behind the scenes. God bless those who work behind the scenes, folks. 1 Samuel 12:24, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for thee. Number one, we're just noticing the list of people tonight. Timothy, Demas, Crescens. Number four, we notice Titus, verse number 10, Titus unto Dalmatia. Now Titus is one who faithfully served the Lord. He had a letter written to him entitled after his name. It's, as a matter of fact, it's the next book, the book of Titus. And upon study of the Word of God, we see that Titus was one who is well known. He's one who is well known and takes a faithful stand in pouring his life into others. He's one, now get this folks, who could be left behind to set things in order. in the church that needed to be fixed and appointed leadership needed to be placed. Titus chapter 1 verses 4 and 5 shows us this. As a matter of fact, the basic key phrase of the book of Titus is stay in Crete. Stay put, Titus. Set some things in order and put leaders in place. Galatians 2:1, then 14 years when I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Titus 1:4, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in this, what can we get? What do we get from Titus? From Crescens, we learn that there are those who are working behind the scenes. Not much known about them, but they're faithfully at it. Now we see Titus. Who's he? He pictures a person who is put up in front of people. And folks, if you're put up in front of people and more people know you than they know the person behind the scenes, this means we need to be able to be trusted in the work of God. These people in front of people and these people behind the scenes are working together faithfully to do the work of God. May God give us leaders like Titus. I'm talking about those who are put up in front of the Sunday school class. You lead that Sunday school class. God help you to lead like Titus. Somebody who will stay put, stay in Crete, be faithful, set things in order, put leadership in place. I'm talking about those who are up in front of the people and they're taking a faithful stand. God help us to be faithful. Then there's a fifth person here. I may get to seven, I don't know. But the fifth person that we find in this list of people, this is the first major point, the list of people, Paul's final message, the list of people he gave. The fifth one is found in verse 11, only Luke is with me. So we look at Luke here. Now Luke is Paul's doctor. He's the beloved physician who is also a fellow laborer to the truth. He was used of God to write the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. He was one who was with Paul on some of his missionary journeys. He was with Paul on the shipwreck in Acts chapter 27. He was one who was not a preacher, and he wasn't per se a teacher. He was a doctor who was content to come alongside the man of God and help him in his God-given work. He was a true friend to the man of God and was there with him in good times and was there with him in bad times. Paul is saying right here, now some of these Paul sent out on missionary journeys and sent them out, you know, from him. But he said, only Luke is with me. Luke is there with him. Now what do we learn from this? We learn from this that God is looking for some of his children, all of his children, to use their gifts and their talents to come alongside and help in the work of God. He wants his children to be a true friend to the man of God through good times and bad times. I'll tell you this, and I'm being honest, because I be one now. I understand a little bit more than I did when I was a staff evangelist. The man of God, that's who I am. I may not be much of one, but that's who I am. The man of God needs some true friends who'll stick beside him and help him in his God-given work. He needs some doctors and businessmen and construction workers. He needs some people who'll say, I may not be a preacher and I may not be a teacher, but I'll hold his arms up and I'll help him along life's way and I'll do my part in getting the gospel message out and I'll help him get the work done. I'm telling you that God has placed a big vision in my heart. Scare you to death if you knew everything is in my heart. And we can't do it on our own. We need some Lukes. We need some men who've been given some talents and they'll say, I'll use my gifts and I'll understand that it might be something God's given me to make a living with to take care of my family. But I'll look beyond it and I'll see that he's gifted me there so I can help in the ministry of Jesus Christ. This is what we see in the book of Nehemiah, if you remember. Nehemiah chapter 3, we noticed, I believe it was seven different vocations that were mentioned who were up working on the wall. God wants to use you, No matter what you are, no matter who you are or what you do, God wants to use you to come alongside the work of God and help us get the gospel around the world. That's it. We learned this from Luke. Then the sixth one is found in verse number 11. And that is, only Luke was with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, if you remember in the book of Acts, how Mark was one who was with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. However, for some reason, Mark abandoned them and went back to Jerusalem. He was not committed at this time whenever he went home during the first missionary journey. He had turned his back on this mission in Acts chapter 13, verse 13. But after this, there was another occasion on which Barnabas wanted to take Mark. If you remember, Paul didn't want to take him because he didn't think he was faithful enough or whatever the case may be or committed enough. And this caused Paul and Barnabas to part ways in Acts chapter 15, verse 39. One said this, about a dozen years later, we find Paul in prison in Rome. And guess who's with him? Mark. Not right here. This is another imprisonment. Many years have passed now. I'm talking about after Mark had abandoned them on the first missionary journey and Mark had caused them, whenever Barnabas wanted to take him, caused Paul and Barnabas to part ways. After that, we find Mark with Paul in one of his imprisonments or with him. Apparently, Mark has proven himself and he's gotten back with Paul. And while in his first imprisonment, Paul wrote Colossians, and in Colossians 4:10, he refers to Mark, and he wrote Philemon, and in Philemon, that same verse, verse 24 right here, he refers to Mark again. And so after all of those years, Mark was back in good graces with Paul, and unfaithful companion is now restored. Now some 20 years later, now get this now, we see Paul sitting in this prison that he's writing this letter from. He's awaiting execution. And one of the ones he calls for, he says, bring Mark. Because he's profitable for the ministry. You know what that word means? It means useful. In all of this, we see an unfaithful brother beginning wrong, but ending right. Now in Demas, you saw somebody who began right and ended wrong. You flip-flop it here. Mark began wrong. But somewhere along the line, God got a hold of him, and now he's finishing right. You know, in the same way, let us rejoice when a person who has been unfaithful and unuseful to the cause of Christ becomes faithful and useful again. Isn't that a great thing? And if you're, now listen, if you're currently not right with God, and if you're currently uncommitted and unfaithful, you don't have to stay that way. Mark didn't, and you don't have to either. There's Mark. Now let me give you the final one tonight. The final one is a name that you probably wish you didn't have, and that is Tychicus. Can you imagine saying, Tychicus, get over here. You know what I'm saying? He's found in verse number 12. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Paul said, I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. Now, this same Tychicus is mentioned in Acts 20 verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21, Colossians chapter 4, verse 7, Titus chapter 3, verse number 12. Now it seems, upon the study of the Word of God, that he was a faithful messenger to deliver the Word of God to the people. He's the one that apparently took Ephesians to Ephesus. He took Colossians to Colossae. He could be the one who's delivering Timothy to Timothy. We don't know. But what we do know is this. Tychicus is known as one who is faithful to get the Word of God into other people's hands. He may not have been a preacher or a teacher, but he was a faithful delivery boy of the precious Word of God. You know, in the same way tonight, maybe you don't deliver messages in front of the church. And maybe you don't deliver messages in a classroom, or maybe you don't deliver messages on the bus route, but every single person can be faithful in delivering the message of God's word around the world. Every one of us. In our neighborhoods. Why don't you be like Tychicus? In your zip code, why don't you be like Tychicus? In your workplace, why don't you be like Tychicus? In your school, why don't you be like Tychicus? You may not be a preacher or a teacher, but you can be a faithful delivery boy or delivery girl, taking the Word of God to other people and making sure that the Word of God gets into their hands. This is where we're learning from. Let me go back over these, not completely, just mention them. But we're looking at this list of people. This is the first thing we're noticing about Paul's final message, the list of people he gave. We've noticed seven tonight. There's seven more in this list. But these first seven, Timothy, we learn from him, go get one. Pour your life out into somebody for God. Demas, don't be like Demas and finish wrong. Finish right. We learn about the name of Crescens, unknown, but apparently serving Jesus Christ. You may be unknown to the world, but you're known to God. Stay with it. Titus, he's known. He's up in front of the people. People know that name. You know that name. There's a book of the Bible written after him and written to him. But even though he's known, he's staying faithful. He's staying in Crete. He's doing the work of God. Luke, he's not a preacher. He's not a teacher. Oh, he's taught us though, hasn't he? But he wasn't known for his teaching and preaching. He was a doctor. And he used his gifts to come alongside the man of God and hold his arms up and help him in his ministry. The sixth person we saw is Mark. He gave it up early in life. It got hard. He gave it up. But later in life, the Apostle Paul, awaiting execution, says, Timothy, there's a boy out there I want you to bring with you. I didn't want him earlier, but I want him now. His name's Mark. He finished right. The seventh one is Tychicus. He's simply a faithful messenger of the Word of God. You know that's what I want to be. I hope that's what you want to be. I don't know what the Lord's speaking to you. This is not one of those messages where there's one key center. I like to give you one thought, you know. This message doesn't lend itself to that, but I trust that God will help us to understand what He's telling us. What's God saying to you tonight? What's He whispering to you? Is He saying, you know, you have gifts, you have talents. Be like Luke. Is He saying, I know nobody knows your name. Be like Crescens. Is He saying, hey, everybody knows you. Great responsibility, stay faithful. Stay faithful. Is He saying, hey, you're starting to turn out like Demas. This world's a little bit too close to you. Get away from it. What's He saying? May our answer be yes, no matter what it is. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Help us, I pray. May the will of God be done in this service. May you be pleased in this service. Help us to understand what you're teaching us. Guide our thoughts. And help us, Lord, to learn the lessons of Scripture. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Have you been saved? Do you know the Lord? If you don't, come and let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know Jesus as your Savior. Or maybe tonight God is speaking to your heart because you understand that you've been trained. And spiritually speaking, you are a Paul. In other words, there's something that you can train somebody else in, whether it be the bus ministry or the door-to-door ministry, or whether it be the Sunday school teaching, or whether it be soul winning, whether it be something else. You say, I've been trained in these things. And I see, number one, just like Timothy was mentioned first, God is speaking to me about finding a Timothy. And I want to find him. And
I want to pour my life out into him. Maybe you need to come and talk to the Lord. Maybe somebody's here like Demas. You're loving this present world too much. Or maybe there's somebody here that God's speaking to you about the name Crescens. We don't know much about him. And like I said, there's been some debate about why he was in Galatia. But the common consent, and one I agree with, is that he was serving the Lord at this time, yet he was unknown. But whether that's true about him or not, the truth is still the same. God's work must be done by some who are willing to work behind the scenes. You understand that statement? If those are not willing to work behind the scenes, the work of the church will not prosper. Those who knock on doors and nobody knows that they're out there. Those who watch the babies. Those who make sure the buses are running. Whatever the situation is, maybe God's speaking to you about Christians. Maybe he's speaking to you about Titus. Maybe you're somebody that's up in front of the people. You're up in front of your class. You're up in front of your bus route. You're up in front of the church, whatever the case may be. And God's speaking to you about just stay put, stay put, stay put, stay put. Be faithful, be faithful, be faithful. Maybe he's talking to some of you about Luke. Some of you dear men and ladies who God has gifted you in certain areas. Whether it be construction or you're or businessman or stay-at-home mom. Whatever it is, God has a place in his work for you. And one thing he wants you to do is come alongside and help using your gifts and talents. Maybe God's speaking to somebody who's like Mark today. Oh, there's been a time in your life where you've been on the sideline. And God's dealing with you about getting back on in the game. Get back in the game. Get back in the game. Don't stay sitting on the sidelines. Get up and start running for the glory of God. Or maybe God's speaking to you about Tychicus tonight. Again, kind of an unknown person, yet faithfully delivering the word of God. I don't know how he's speaking, but I hope you'll obey. Let's stand together, shall we? Father, help us now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is dealing with you in some way, would you leave your place and come? As he sings,
have
come on.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way.
Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
They're playing through softly. Folks are praying. We're almost done. I'd like you to look this way. Sometimes I wish I could take my chest and rip it open and let you see it. Can I give you my burden? Just real briefly while folks are praying. I love to see people come to this church service, and in the morning service, evening service, whatever the case may be, they get pricked in their heart and they come forward and they trust Christ right here. Isn't it great to see that in church? And I don't want that to stop. But you know what my burden is for this church? My burden is that every Sunday that we get up, every Sunday, somebody says, well, it can't happen every Sunday. The day that my God gets too small for this not to be able to happen every Sunday, I don't want to serve him anymore. My burden is that every Sunday, one of you will walk somebody down the aisle that you were in their home that week and you personally led them to Christ. That's my burden. My burden is that we don't all try to do it as a staff and as a deacon board and all this. No, but that we all are doing it. And we're all about our Father's business. Wouldn't it be great to see a deacon come down the aisle bringing somebody they led to Christ? Wouldn't it be good to see a Sunday school teacher, a bus captain, a layman, a doctor, a construction worker? Wouldn't it be great to just see our people walking somebody down the aisle saying, I led them to Christ this week. They want to be baptized. Wouldn't that be great? You think it can happen? I know it can. But only if we determine. I'll be a Crescens, I'll be a Titus, I'll be a Tychicus, I'll be a Luke, I'll be a Timothy. I'll be a Mark. That if I get kicked off for a while or I quit for a while, which I hope you don't, but I'm going to finish right. I don't know how God's speaking to you.
But I know this. Can't you see the heart of Paul in this? Only Luke is with me. Do your diligence, Timothy, to come see me. I'm about to leave this world. And I want to see you, boy, one more time. And oh, don't forget Mark. He's profitable. I hope you're getting it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me remind you about tonight, the cancer meeting to my left and your right, junior camp meeting to my right, your left. And be faithful this week. Get some gospel tracts and start passing them out. You say, Jody, where'd you start? Let me tell you where I started in sixth grade. Mr. Curley, put some tracts. Get some tracts. Take them to school. And I used to take gospel tracts. I was scared to death to give them to somebody, so I just put them on the water fountain. Take them in the bathrooms. Put them in the men's bathroom. Put them in the bathroom. I used to take them. I don't do this anymore, but I used to. I had a lot of zeal, you know, but really no knowledge with it. I used to go to the gas station, and I'd take out a carton of beer with the cans with the opening in it, and I'd fold up a track, and I'd stick it in the middle, and I'd just roll it down the middle of those cans. Don't do that anymore because of the appearance of evil. You understand what I'm saying? Or you say, Jody, I'm scared to death. Join the crowd. I got on. I know I'm taking a little bit of time here, but I got on and I watched a service, you know, because I was checking on something that I said and made sure I said it right. And I didn't realize how much I stuttered. I stutter all the time. And I'll say to you, I don't stutter like da-da-da. Yes, I do, don't I? I really do. I've learned that. God's called me to preach. All I'm saying is if you do what God tells you to do, He'll help you to do it, folks. He will. And I hope you'll be faithful with this. Take it and do something with it. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us now. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. As you leave, there's going to be these commitment cards. Again, pray about it. Seek the Lord. Start turning them into the offering plate. And that'll be great. God bless you. See you Wednesday night, the Lord willing.